Parsha Shlach, Tavshin Pei. So tonight's shir should be a Lilui Nishmas, my bubby, my grandmother, my father's mother, Echo Bashlom, Alea Shalom. She was a survivor of Auschwitz, and after the war, got married to my grandfather, my Zaidi, and had my father and his sister. And she was a very tough woman, a very strong woman. And some of the ideas we'll speak about tonight, we'll talk about that, the perseverance of Klal Yisrael in certain ways. And she lived in Cleveland. She was actually the chef in the Tells in the yeshiva there. And her husband was a butcher, and they, you know, they were moved to immigrated to Cleveland from Europe after the war. And so her neshama should have a big aliyah in the zechus of us learning Torah together tonight. So the Torah in this week's Parsha Shlach, Shlach Lecha, in some places it's referred to, is really an amazing Parsha. It's an amazing Parsha. Some people call it the Parsha of Eretz Yisrael. Some call Lech Lecha the Parsha of Eretz Yisrael. But Shlach, as we know, goes ahead and discusses the chet of the Meraglim. And the chet of the Meraglim is one of the gravest chatoim that there is in the Torah. Because according to Chazal, we never really were fully forgiven for the chet. There were two big sins in the desert, one being the chet of chet ha'egel, the other being chet ha'meraglim. And chet ha'meraglim, on certain levels, we still are paying for today. And so we know that's when Moshe sends the 12 spies to spy out Eretz Canaan, and they return 40 days later, and they have a big cluster of grapes, a pomegranate, a fig, and they say that everything is beautiful, the land is bountiful, it has so much great things there, everything looks wonderful, Eretz Zavas Chalav Devash. But 10 of the spies say that the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan were giants, they were very, very huge, and warriors, and they're more powerful than us, and Kalev and Yehoshua, we know, they say, don't worry, there's nothing HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do, and Hashem has commanded us to go conquer it. And the people cried. They listened to the 10, Bnei Yisrael listened to the 10 Meraglim. They wanted to return to Eretz Mitzrayim. And Hashem decreed that Bnei Yisrael's entry into the land shall be delayed 40 years as a result, during which time the entire dor was wiped out. They were all killed, and only their children were zocheh to go into Eretz Yisrael. And a group of remorseful, part of Klal Yisrael, they stormed the mountain on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and they're rooted by by Amalek and the Canaanim. And the Parsha concludes, really, it gives us some different areas of Halacha, tells us about the Menachos, and the mitzvah to go ahead and to tear apart a piece of the challah from do the mitzvah of Parshas Challah when you bake challah, when making bread. And talks about the person who's Michal Shabbos. He's Chai Misa. And then it concludes with the beautiful section of Tzitzis, the mitzvah of Tzitzis, the mitzvah to wear four corners on our garments, that we should remember all of the mitzvahs. So let's delve into the Makaros and have a lot of beautiful ideas tonight. We'll try to get through as much as we can. So the parasha starts off, Parasha Shlach, source number one, by the Be'er Adonai Moshe Le'mor. That Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying as following: Shlach lecha anashim, send for yourself men. V'yasura eretz Kanaan asher ani nosin levnei Yisrael ish echad umateh avosav tishlachu kol nasi vahem. You should send for yourself men who will scout out the land, who will go ahead and see the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. You should send one man each of his father's tribe. Each one shall be a head of each shevet. So it's very interesting. There's a lot. Every single word in this pasuk is like darshined like crazy by the mefarshim. Shlach lecha anashim v'yasuru as al shtikol Torah. You could probably find 20-30 mefarshim on each one that give all different ideas from Chazal and other ideas. What each word is telling us, and each word is and the whole Torah is meaningful, but this pasuk specifically is really important. So let's dissect some of the words here. So Hashem tells Moshe to send forth these men, right? It's interesting. It comes out of nowhere. Doesn't seem like there's a request here. Later on in Devarim, we know that the story there is that Bnei Yisrael go to Moshe and they ask for spies to be sent. But here Rashi says, what shlach lecha? What does it mean to send forth for you? Just send. Why does it have to say lecha instead of just shlach? So Rashi says, ledatcha. Ani mitzav elecha, According to your own understanding, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells him, if Hashem says, if you want to, go ahead and do it. I'm not commanding you to do it. In tirtze shlach, if you wish, send. Lefi shebal yisrael v'amru nishlecha anashim lefaneinu. As I said, that later on in the Torah, in Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Kaf Beis, that Bnei Yisrael went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, let us send Meraglim ahead of us. Let us send people ahead of us. And Moshe says, you approached me to send the Meraglim. But so Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu here, I'm leaving this decision up to you. We know the result. The result was not good, right? Bnei Yisrael got punished, and the Meraglim came back, 10 of them, with a very positive report, but also scaring Klal Yisrael for them to all be in fear and to lack emunah and bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem can't conquer the Canaanim and help them win a battle that he promised them he could do. But he left it up to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're going to have to discuss that. If Hashem knew that Bnei Yisrael were going to come back, the Meraglim were going to come back, why do you leave it up to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do you give him a Pesach to go ahead and make this decision if it was going to result in such terrible consequences for Bnei Yisrael? But Rashi says that Shlach Lecha means it's up to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not commanding you what to do. If you want to do it, do it. The Kli Yakar has three pshatim on what Shlach Lecha Anoshim means. Three different pshatim. So the first pshat, he says that Bnei Yisrael are the ones that approached Moshe and said, let us send forth men to go ahead and to scout out the land. So Rashi says, the Kli Yakar says, Lanu Hainu Lahanasenu Ulutovosenu. For us is for our pleasure and for our good. Meaning Bnei Yisrael approached Moshe, they wanted to send out people to scout out the land. They didn't know what the land's gonna be like. Tell us some details. Tell us a little bit better. This is where we're gonna conquer, this is where we're gonna live, this is where we're destined to be. Well, let's find a little bit more information about it. For our own good, our own benefit. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Shlach Lecha V'lo Lahem. Send for you and not for them. Meaning it will be good for you, but not for them. Ki Lecha Davka Yeh Shlichus Lahana L'Tova. Right, it's a different gear. So also what Lecha means, Lahana Scha L'Tovascha. Hashem tells Moshe, sending forth these Meraglim will be for your benefit and your good. Aval Lahem Lo Yeh L'Tovascha. But for them, it's not going to be for their good. Ki Adei Shlichus Zen Nigzer Alem Misa. Because through this sending them, they were punished and they had Misa. Death was decreed upon them. But for Moshe Rabbeinu, because it was delayed, and it was already decreed that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael, he got to live another 40 years. Wild pshat from the Kli Yakar. The is talking about for your benefit, Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's going to be to the detriment of the Meraglim and to Bnei Yisrael, because for them, they're going to be punished and not be able to go into Eretz Yisrael for another 40 years, but you, your life is going to be prolonged by 40 years. So do it for your own benefit, for your own good. Very wild, because Moshe is going to do it selfishly, for his own self-interest, his own benefit, to be able to extend his life, but not to let the rest of Klai Yisrael, that generation, go into Eretz Yisrael because of their punishment. But that's what the Lecha is, according to the first pshat in the Kli Yakar. Second pshat is davar acher shlach lecha anashim davka ata teches ebruach hakodesh im anashim ksherim l'seh hashlichos. So he says, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you choose the people. That's what the lecha is. Shlach lecha, you decide who to send. Ki rov ha'olam tolim ba'anashim chanifim hamar misatzom ksherim v'loshim ader seher l'man kachash. Most of the people in the world, they put on a facade. They look different in the outside. They dress themselves up nicely. They act nicely in public. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to know who are the right people to send. You're going to know the genuine sincerity of the people. Al kein amar lecha anashim davka osan shehin beinecha anashim chashuvim. Hashem said, you send people, Moshe lecha. You choose the people who are very chashuv of people. Not other people that maybe won't have tochan kabarim, that won't have the same in the inside and the outside. Because people you appoint for this mi'chash of people, Moshe Rabbeinu, you choose those people that you know are tochan kabarim, are proper, and will act both, you know, won't do it for the kavod, won't act in the outside differently than they would on the inside. And the third pshat the Kli Yakar brings down is, davar acher l'cha anashim l'cha nira ki heima anashim chashuvim ki ene b'sar l'cha. Liros bin nigle levad ba'asher husham ki ba'osa shar ksheim hayu, ava ba'inai inan anashim ksheim ki ani rosh de rios behove ve'atid ki asidin lios be'etzerah. He says, you think that these people are chashuv, Right, lechon yir kehim anashim chashim ki ene basar lecha. You have flesh, eyes of flesh. You know, you think that they're great, but I know that they're not really in the end going to be good. They're going to come back with an eitz hara. So three different pshat in the Kli Yakar as to what the word lecha means. Just darshaning one word, you see the chashivas, just a powerful idea. The chashivas of one word in the Torah, how much there really is, how much depth there is to that one word. The Chidushi Arim in source number 4 talks about, you know, the Meraglim, what went on with them. And tonight we'll spend a little time, there's so much you could say, talk about what the chait was, why they did a chait, what was their motivation, what happened. We'll talk about it a little bit. But let's see an insight from the Chidushi Arim. He says, the Meraglim, hiskavnu tovasim sheyisrael levad. So the exact opposite of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar said it's lecha for you, Moshe, not for the benefit of Bnei Israel, because you're gonna live another 40 years, they're gonna be punished for 40 years and die out in the Midbar. But, says the Chidushi Arim, the exact opposite, it's for the benefit of Bnei Israel alone. Rosh Bnei Israel, Om de Matzah Toma'o, they saw Bnei Israel in the desert. Everything's great in the desert. Lom de Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, Allah Shalom. They're learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't have anything to worry about. They don't have to worry about their food. They don't have to worry about doing anything in Olam Hazeh. Everything's taken care of. So the Meraglim said they have a good situation going on. Everything's given to you from Shemayim. They're getting mon. They're involved in Avodas Hashem. They made mercy. They pity on Israel. They didn't want them to go into Eretz Yisrael. Thought it'd be bad. And they'd have to work the land. So they went ahead and they did what was, they tried to trick themselves to do what was tovas for the best of the klal. They wanted Bnei Yisrael to stay in the Midbar 40 years. The Meraglim thought that was in Bnei Yisrael's best interest. They're getting man, they have Moshe Rabbeinu, everything's great, everything's wonderful. Why rush to get into Eretz Yisrael? Why rush to stop the man and to stop Moshe Rabbeinu from being with them? To let them stay in the Midbar as long as possible. So he did it with Bnei Yisrael's best interest according to the Chidushi Arim. Ach afal pikein, however, nevertheless, lohaya zet l'ratzam b'shemayim. But it wasn't the ratzam Hashem. They did it, what's ratzam b'nei Yisrael, but not what was ratzam Hashem. Mishum shelo tov lomar etzos b'anhagas Hashem yisbarach, shemistam k'mo shemanhigim mishamayim, kein hu l'tovaseinu. Because whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us is what's for our good. So even though we might have cheshbonah sometimes, that this is what's for our good, that's what's for our good, Hashem told them, you have to go to Eretz Canaan. The whole mission here, the whole goal, the whole plan, was to get to Eretz Yisrael. And so for the Meraglim to make their own cheshbonos and think, oh, this is what's going to be great for Bnei Yisrael because they're going to have the man and they're going to be involved in the voice of Hashem. They're not going to have to work the land in Eretz Yisrael sooner. They're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not for the Meraglim to do. That wasn't in the best interest of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And because it wasn't in the best interest of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, ultimately it didn't work out. Ultimately it failed. That is the idea from just giving us some insight. What were the Meraglim thinking? And how could they go ahead and do this? You know, come back and do this. They were trying, according to the Chidush Yerem, he's almost melamed tzchus on them, to do what was best for Klal Yisrael. The next idea is an idea from Rabbi Frand, and this discusses if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, and this is a powerful part, a huge yisod in chinuch, a huge yisod in life. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the ultimate mechanech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our ultimate teacher, knew that Bnei Yisrael, by having the Meraglim go to Eretz Yisrael, would suffer such terrible consequences. The whole Dor wouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. They'd have to travel in the Midbar another for 40 years. Why didn't he just tell them, don't send them? Why did he give the Rishus to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha, L'dayitcha, make your own decision about this. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not commanding you to one way or another. Which already is a little sniff. It's a hint there. I'm not telling you to do it. If Hashem wanted him to do it, he would have told him to do it. Right? It's already a little bit of a hint what Hashem wants. But Rav Mato Katz Zatzal, who was the head of Yeshiva Tells in Cleveland for many years, he had a very difficult life. He lost much of his family in Europe and came to America, rebuilt his family and Yeshiva as well in Tells. So he discusses this idea. I couldn't find it inside. I don't know where his writings are, but Rabbi Fran quotes it. It's a beautiful idea. He writes that sometimes Rav Mato Katz, Rabbi Fran quotes, writes, educating requires not educating. Sometimes a parent or teacher must not react. Even though the situation really demands that something be said, sometimes it's counterproductive to react. And he says that the Gemara is a mitzvah of tochacha to give rebuke, but if you know that the person's not going to listen, then it's a mitzvah not to give rebuke. So Rav Moto Katz explained, this principle is illustrated in our story in Parsha Shlach. The Pasuk says, Shlach Lecha. Rashi says, Moshe was told, for your own sake, to send the spies. Hashem was saying, I know that no good is going to come out of this. Spies aren't necessary. They're going to ruin things. They really shouldn't have been sent out. They should never be sent out. But if you want to send, then go ahead and send them to satisfy your own needs. So Rav Moto says, if it was so clear that it wasn't the proper way to act, then why didn't Hashem just straight out, don't send the spies? Forget what everybody's saying, and Klal Yisrael's complaints and questions, lishlecha lefaneinu, and just tell them, don't send the spies. You could have told the people, sorry, Hashem knows better. Here's the key line here from Rav Moto. The answer, says Rav Moto, is that the people were not on a spiritual level where they were ready to hear that. It wouldn't have helped. Moshe could have given the people that message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they were not spiritually sophisticated enough to appreciate the message. They would have countered, what do you mean we're not going to send spies? Everyone knows that the way to conquer a country is by sending spies and gathering intelligence. Under such circumstances, there was no other choice but to let them have their way. Objections would fall on deaf ears. And anyone, he says, who has a child knows this. Sometimes as a toddler, or especially as they get older, become teenagers, adolescents, that's parents know what's best and what's good and what's right for their children. But sometimes our children we know won't listen to us. And as difficult as it is for a parent, we have to simply keep quiet. We can hint, we can suggest, perhaps provide some incentives. Let them try to understand from the way we react to a certain thing. But in a final analysis and the decisions, the children have to make decisions for themselves. And it sometimes just doesn't help to say anything at all. Let the children make the decision for themselves. What a vart. What he is sohut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the ultimate mechanic, is telling that to Moshe Rabbeinu here. That was the situation with the spies. The right thing to do would have been to tell the children, tell Bnei Yisrael, no spies. But it wouldn't have worked, he says. And then he tells a story that the students, this is an amazing story, the students in the yeshiva tells, so in the 1950s, that they asked if the yeshiva to permit them to daven Maariv early, because they wanted to watch some wrestling match. There was a big championship prize fight in New York to hear who wins, and they wanted to know on the radio. They wanted to be able to hear it, so they wanted to make Maariv a little earlier in the yeshiva, I guess maybe cut Seder a little bit, and to be able to hear the announcement. And so it says, Rabbi Fran says, imagine today that, you know, the people come to the yeshiva and ask, Rebbe, you know, the NBA playoffs are on tonight. Can we skip night Seder a little bit, so dive Maariv early so we could watch the fourth quarter? So Rav Moto explained, I knew full well that it was inappropriate to change the time of Maariv in the yeshiva's schedule for a heavyweight prize fight between people who are trained to hurt and injure one another. But what did he do? What did this great product of Lithuanian yeshivas, the product of Tells in Europe, what did he decide to do? He responded, I couldn't stop them and prohibit them from doing this. I knew this was not the time to say no. Famous and respected people came from all over the country to be present at this fight, to get ringside seats, and thousands of people came from all parts of the country. It was going to be viewed by everyone. It was difficult to forbid it. He couldn't say no because they wouldn't know where he was coming from and they wouldn't understand his reasoning. That's a mechanich. That's somebody who goes ahead and understands the needs sometimes of the Tamidim and of the students to sometimes just not forbid something even if it's not the right thing. But know when to speak, know when not to speak, know when to educate, and know when not to educate. And that's the lesson we learn from the way the Ribbono Shel Olam dealt with Moshe Rabbeinu, to leave the decision up to him, and ultimately up to Bnei Yisrael. That's chinuch, knowing when to say and when not to say. And that's a beautiful vart there from Matal Katz. So moving on to source number 6. So the Meraglim come back, Ve'eshuvu, Mitur ha'aretz miketz arba'im yom, and the lashon of also latur is very interesting, right? There's a couple other words that could be used, l'ragel, and the mafarshim bring down that there's different words that could be used for spying out, but the word tur it's very interesting. It also can connect to the end of the parsha where the pasuk tzitzis says lo sasuru racher levavchem. Might be a deep connection between the meraglim, the beginning and the end of the parsha. But what happens? They come back and they say they return from being there for 40 days. And they go to Moshe and Aaron and to Bnei Yisrael. And what do they say? They say the following. We went to the land. They said it's a land flowing with milk and honey and this is its fruit. Then they say,
Hey,
However, it's great. Everything's, they say good things about the land too. It's not all bad. It's a very positive report in the beginning. But there's a caveat. The people who inhabit the land are mighty, and the cities are extremely huge and fortified, and there we saw even the offspring of the giant. Say, Amalek is there, and the Chiyad, all the different nations are there, and Pasuk Lamed says, Vayahas Kalev Asalam al Moshe, Vayomer Alo Nale Viarashnu Osa Kiyachol Nuchala. Kalev silenced them to Moshe, and he said, we can surely go up and take possession of it, for we can indeed overcome it. So it's a very interesting give and take here. This Pasuk Efes Kiyazam, if you read it, then you really feel emotional when you read it. It can make you cry. Because it shows B'nai Yisrael, this is really the chait right here. And this is what they went ahead and just didn't have faith and confidence in themselves. They didn't have emunah bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you look, the Piazetz Rebbe in the Eish Kodesh, in source number 7, he asks a question, he explains beautifully. He says, what is Kalev's response to the Meraglim? The 10 Meraglim say that we went to the land and Ephes Kiyaz, there were great, very strong people that are there, fortified cities that are very well protected, and we even saw giants. And Kalev doesn't say anything. All he says is, we're gonna go. We're going. We can do this. We can for sure overcome them. That's it. He doesn't respond, he doesn't deny what they say. What they say is true. Nobody says what they say isn't true. But Kalev's response is just, we got this. And if you look at the Piazetz Rebbe's words are beautiful. He says, "V'lamalo hatochach Kalev yimahem listoras sichlam adivrei tamehem." Why didn't Kalev use a logical argument? He could have said to them, he could have said, listen, yeah, they're big, but we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll be able to knock down the fort of the walls and to attack them in this way. And yeah, they're giants, but we'll be smaller, so we'll be able to navigate faster than them. But he just says, we're going to go and we're going to do it. So he says as follows, says if he says, Navakach, Tzricha Lios Emuna Isha Yisraeli, this is what a Jew has to believe. A Jew has to believe this way. Lo bilvad b'sha shiro amal v'derech l'shuoso, gama p'sich l'v'derech ateva yamin b'ashem shio shio v'ischazik. Not only when you see a rational, a logical, and a path that makes sense, should a Jew have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and strengthen himself in it. Rak gam b'sha she'eino roach chasech halila shum avo. But even when you don't see a way, you don't see a path, you don't see where, how it's going to happen, al p'sich, it doesn't make sense. Somebody chas v'shom rachman otzon is sick in a hospital bed, and the doctors say there's no hope. V'derech ateva l'shuoso, and there's no derech ateva, there's no natural way. Yamin b'Hashem shiyoshuos shiyoshiyu v'ischazik b'mraso uvitchuno. That too is when you need to have emunah bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'ad Rabbi Shah Zu, and says the Piazetzna, it's actually the opposite. At this time, when you don't see how the Yeshua is going to come, it doesn't seem in any natural way it's going to be possible. It's not going to be possible for the Meraglim and Bnei Yisrael to overcome the people in Eretz Canaan. Tov shelo yisakish limtzo ezeh seichel. You shouldn't try to figure out a way how to do it. Umavo derech hateva. In a natural way that it can be figured out, because it's not possible. If it's not possible, you're wasting your efforts and time and putting in false hishtadlus here. And it's showing a lack of emunah bitachon. Ki kevan sha pi pashut liyimsa as tchas v'chalil tuchel l'manasa l'idei zeh lihipagim. You can mess up your emunah by doing so. You try to cross all your T's and dot all your I's, you end up sometimes, you know, falling flat on your face. You have to have emunah pshuta and emunah bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what the answer is. That, yeah, everything the Ragam says was true, says the Piazetna. They're very strong. And he says, they have Bitsir Kedolis Mod. Yeah, it's true. They have fortified cities. They have walled cities. Hashem's above everything else. He's going to come through for us. He promised us we're going to be able to conquer. And that's what's going to happen. So that's beautiful verse from the Piazetzna. Now what's Kalev's response? Vayas Kalev Yasalam. He just quiets them. He says, guys, quiet. Hashem's gonna take care of it. I don't need to explain how. I don't need to explain why. Stop talking. Everything's gonna be fine. Don't discourage the people. Encourage them. And, it's all gonna get taken care of because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yachol Nuchol Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can certainly indeed overcome it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to have emunah and bitachon. It's a whole debate what the chit and raglim was, but many say it's the emunah and bitachon they started lacking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how did they go from Anashim Chashuvim at such high levels to be the head of the Shvatim in this parsha at least, not different, some different than Nesiim elsewhere, but how? That's a good question. It's a very strong question and difficult to understand. The Mefarshim address it, but this is what the answer is. Kalev's answer is how we deal with things in life. We can't always find the answers for things. We can't always find the right path and how to do things naturally. Sometimes they don't make sense naturally. They don't make sense on paper. You know, as an accountant, you try to make everything make sense. Everything has to have debit and credit and balance. It's not how Kadosh Baruch Hu works. It's not how the world works. And that's what the Piyazetz Nereb teaches us in source number 7. Rabbi Biederman in source number 8 also tells us the following. The Sfasenis writes, my grandfather Chiddush Erim said, as far as they understood, it was impossible for them to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But if they had believed in Hashem, the belief itself would help them go over the boundaries of nature. A beautiful vart from the Chiddush Erim. That Emunah itself gives you the ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you. And it says, we know this pasuk very well, and it's a beautiful drush on it. Esa einai elahari me'ayin yavo Ezri. I raise my eyes up to the mountains. Where is my salvation going to come from? From where will my salvation come? This park in Tehillim refers to a person who doesn't see any hope on the horizon. He doesn't see any solutions for his troubles. But, Ezri mim Hashem oisei shemayim v'aretz. My help will come of Hashem who created the heaven and the earth. Hashem created heaven and the earth. We know yesh me'ayin. Something from nothing. And he can also find, if need be, and create a Yeshua, yesh me'ayin. Something from nothing to save me in this situation. A nice idea, a nice Jewish on what the Oysa Shemayim is, an Ezri Meim Hashem Oysa Shemayim Ba'aretz, something the Meraglim didn't have, and Kalev had to remind them about. In source number 9, we'll just say it outside, so it's pretty long, but Rabbi Sachs, and this is I think the last idea in the Meraglim for the night, he goes ahead and says that the Hebrew has two verbs that mean spy. Lachpor and Leragel, which is where Leragel, right, Meraglim. And neither of these words appear in our parsha. And he said that that's the point. 12 times the verb of latur is mentioned in our parsha, which means to tour. Literally. It's a translation almost into English the way it sounds. It's pretty funny. But it sounds like to tour, and it means to tour. In modern Hebrew, that's what it means. Tayar is a tourist. And we know that there's a big difference, he says, between a tourist and a spy. Their mistake, the Meraglim's mistake, according to Rabbi Sachs, was that they were not meant to be spies. They weren't told to be spies and to come back with negative reports about the land. They were told latur. They were told to go ahead and to tour the land, to see it, to explore it, to investigate it, to understand it. Not lachpor l'ragel, to spy out the land. Their job was to tour, explore, travel, see what the land's like and report back. They were supposed to see the good in the land, not the bad. So if they were meant to be spies, if they weren't meant to be spies, what's the purpose of the mission? So he says as follows, that just like the Gemara says, it's usher for a man to marry a woman without seeing her first, because if he's not attracted to her, it might not be good. You have to first see, and then ahava comes, then love. The same applies to a marriage between a people and its land. B'nai Yisrael are going to live there, are going to dwell there. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKadosha. We're traveling to a country that was promised to their ancestor, but none of them ever saw it. How can they be expected to go ahead and fight a war and battle over a land that they don't know, no one knows what it's like. No one has a taste, a little bit of a tam as to what it's going to be like, what it looks like. No one can report back and give them any kind of description as to what it is. So they had no idea what they were fighting for. The Meraglim were sent latur, to explore and to report on the good things of the land, to know that it was worth fighting for. Their task was to explore, but not to spy. Only two of them, Yoshua and Kaleb, listened carefully to the commandment and understood what their mission was, to be the eyes of the congregation, letting them know the beauty and the goodness of what the land had. And that's what he says, the chait of the Meraglim was. That the Meraglim, they at that stage, Bnei Yisrael didn't need spies. And Moshe said many years later, he explains, you know, how this fits in with the Pesukim later on. He says the people just needed to know that it was good. They needed to know that there were people checking on the land for them to give them the motivation, the chizik, to fight the battle, to fight the war when they get there. And that's what he says. But because 10 of them thought their task was to be spies, they went on to say that their conquest was impossible, and from then on, tragedy was inevitable. A very mechudashtika way to understand the whole story of the Meraglim. They weren't really spies. Everyone calls them spies. Says Rabbi Sachs, they weren't spies. They were sent as tourists. They were sent to report back only good. Nothing bad. The Meraglim started off great. The land is beautiful. It's an Eretz Zavachal Avadavash. It's got great fruits. Everything's, it should have just ended there or added only more positive. But they misunderstood their mission. Kalev and Yeshua understood their mission. The other Meraglim did not. And the Malbim says, he actually has this diak, the Malbim, comes from the Malbim ready, that Hitti l'moshe l'shloch tarim l'ros es toivas ha'aretz, no Meraglim l'ros es ervasa. Not, they weren't sent as spies. They were sent as, hatir. And he says, shlach l'chan ha'shiv yasur es eretz kanan, shehete hu ha'mavakish l'ros tiv ha'aretz, lo chester no'seha. Says the Malbim, they were sent on a mission to see the good of the land, not the bad, not that which is lacking. That it would happen, the whole conquering and the conquest, through a miracle and not through a milchama. So that is the Malbim and Rabbi Sachs on that. Oh, we have one last idea and then we'll move on to Tzitzis. This is a vart I heard many years ago. It's just a beautiful vart. At the end of the Perek Yud Gimel, last Pasuk, Lamed Gimel, Pasuk says, V'sham ra'inu as ha'nefilim b'nei anak min ha'nefilim v'nhi b'einenu k'chagavim v'chein ha'yinu b'einahem. That they were saw, there we saw giants, the sons of Anak that came from giants, and they say that in our eyes we looked like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. One of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Geffen, in Yeshiva, said, what's the last three words? V'chein ha'yinu b'einahem. We seem like grasshoppers in their eyes, and so we seem like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. What does it mean? We seem like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. You're either grasshoppers, you're not grasshoppers. Teaching us the biggest yisod in the way a person sees himself. They were seen as grasshoppers because they felt like grasshoppers. The way that they went ahead and viewed themselves is how others viewed them. The giants viewed them as grasshoppers because they felt and gave off the impression that they are grasshoppers. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, a huge lesson in life. Vanehi ve'inenu kachagavim. We seemed like grasshoppers, therefore, v'chein hayinu be'inehem. And so we were in their eyes. We were grasshoppers in their eyes because we seemed like grasshoppers, what in our own eyes? The way a person thinks about himself. If a person has a high self-esteem, a person is confident in everything they do, a person goes ahead and walks around in a humble way, but in a way that goes ahead and shows that what they feel about themselves is good and positive, that's given off to others. Others see that. The way a person dresses, the way a person acts, that's the impression the impression you have of yourself is the impression others will have about you. Your reflection is very clear based upon the way that you feel about yourself. And that's a vart that we see from the Meraglim, a beautiful idea from Vanihi Ve'inenu Kachagav Mechein Hayinu Ve'inehem. Midrashim support this idea as well. Moving on to the Parsha of Tzitzis in the last couple minutes. So we know we have the beautiful Parsha of Tzitzis at the end of the Parsha, skipping from Meraglim, so we're going over Chala, we're going over Nachos, going to Tzitzis, and the Pasuk says, we know that the purpose of Tzitzis, V'ayalachem Tzitzis, Yerisim Oso, Ischartim Iskom Atzvos Hashem, Asisim Oysom, V'loi Sassura Achei Levav Chamei Achei Neichem Eshetem Zeni Macharayim. That the tzitzis should be for you, and when you see it, you're supposed to what? What's the purpose of tzitzis? The Torah tells us explicitly, some mitzvahs, we know the purpose and the reason it's given, others not. But it's to remember all the mitzvahs in the Torah, right? There's a Bach that writes that any time that the Torah tells us explicitly what the reason is for a mitzvah in the Torah, you have to have that kavana in order to be yotzi the mitzvah. You have to have that kavana, like by sukkis and by tzitzis. Yeah, the Torah tells us the reason for something, then you need to think it. So the purpose of the tzitzis is that we should remember all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Pretty important mitzvah, something that reminds us of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So how so? Rashi says, Sheminya gematria shot tzitzis sheshmios, the famous gematria you learn when you're a kid, that the gematria of tzitzis is 600, shmone chutim, there's 8 strings, the chamisha ksharim, 5 knots, sorry, tayagia, 613. So what is this Rashi telling us? You're supposed to calculate every single time, and I happen to like math, but every time I look at my tzitzis, I'm going to think, tzitzis, oh yeah, 600 in gematria, and then plus 8, plus 5, oh, 613, we got 8. 8 strings, 5 knots, there we go. Tayag mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs. Oh, I remembered all the mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem. Well, the Ramban takes issue with this. The Ramban has a different vert. He quotes the Gemara Menachos. He says, Nava, zikaron hu b'chutat chelis. He says that the zikaron for all the mitzvahs in the Torah is the chutat chelis. Shereimez, lamda hakolelis hakol shehi b'chol, vihi tachlis hakol. L'chein amru zachartem es kol shehi mitzvahs Hashem. And he says that the Tchelis is Domal Yam, and the Yam is Domal Rakia, and the Rakia is Domal Kisi HaKavod. So the fact that, again, for the Ramban, so what's a person supposed to do? They're supposed to look at their tzitzis, if they have Tchelis, see their Tchelis, think, oh, the Tchelis is like the water in the ocean. And the water in the ocean is like the rakia, the firmament in the sky. And the sky is like the kisya kavod. Oh, tarig mitzvahs. So, first of all, not everyone wears tchilas. Some people do. Some people don't. Bizman hazeh, at least. And again, what's the Rashi and the Ramban telling us? Two different ways of uschartem oisam, that you're supposed to remember all the mitzvahs in the Torah, that uschartem is called mitzvahs Hashem v'asisim osam. So I think the idea is, I heard from a Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Koningsberg, the idea is that, yeah, depends how a person looks at things in life. What kind of lens do you wear on your eyes? Do we wear spiritual lens or just a physical lens? When we see things, what do we think about? What kind of reactions? What kind of thoughts does it trigger? What triggers go on when we see things? If a person really is connected to Torah, a person is connected to mitzvahs, then yeah, they're going to see the tzitzis and they're going to know instantly, oh, Rashi's pshat, the Ramban's pshat. They're going to know that's a reminder for kol Torah, for all the mitzvahs in the Torah, kol mitzvahs b'Torah. If a person trains themselves to be connected to Torah and to think that way, then yeah, that's how they're going to think. If they wire their brain not to think that way, and then yeah, if they see strings, they're going to see strings with no meaning behind them. But if you wire your brain to have a Torah dika brain and to think Torah, so you're going to see strings and you're going to see a lot more than strings. You're going to remember what the blue string represents. You're going to remember what the strings counted up, added it together with the gnats and with the tzitzis in gematria. Go ahead and teach us and remind us the pasuk in the Torah. And you're going to have a spiritual lens to see that beauty of the mitzvah tzitzis. Sforno, we'll skip down to source number 16, has beautiful words as well. We're almost done. Just two more ideas, I think. So he says, Risim osos chartem is komas v'oshosem. Tisku sha'atem avadim lakel yisparach v'shikibaltem mitzvosa be'ele uveshvua be'ala veshvua. You should remember that you are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that you accepted the entire all the mitzvos with a shvua. Uvizeh b'roisa matzitzis shehu kachoisam hamelech ba'avadav. He says, and that is reminded to us by tzitzis, because the tzitzis, similar to what the Sefer HaChinuch writes, is like the choisam hamelech. It's like the seal of the king that the servants are wearing. Uvizeh tachdulu meitur achrei levavchem, and by that you're going to go ahead and you're going to stop yourself from following astray with your heart. From doing chataim, from doing bad things, from running after wealth and honor and bad character traits and midos. But what are the tzitzis? It's kechoysam hamelech ba'avadav, says the Sforno. It's when we wear tzitzis, so we're wearing the seal of the king. That's how we remember all the mitzvos. We're wearing the thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that will remind us of all the mitzvos and Baruch Hashem. We look at our tzitzis, we look and we think, oh, I'm a Jew, and I'm proud to be a Jew, and I have a Tarag Mitzvos, and I have a Tzitzis, which represents that. And that's what the Sforno says. And the Sefer HaChinuch says as well, the Shari Shemitzvah, Nigla Nakasuv, that the purpose of the Mitzvah, many times he has to figure out what it is. It's revealed in the Pasuk. Shiluan Niskor, Kol Mitzvos Hashem Tamid, Ve'ein Daver, Ba'olam Yaisir, Toiv, Lizikaran, Kmo Naisei, Chaisim, Adainav, Kavua, Bechsuso. Right? How does a master go ahead and remind his servant that he's a servant of the master? He goes ahead and he makes sure that he has a chaysam, he has a seal of his master on him that he wears around in his shirt all the time. He wears a seal, like it's like a havdil, but it's like a name tag, you know? It's something that identifies who you are. Who do you belong to? Who do you work for? Like a havdil, but a dog. Dog has a name tag. It says its name, it says where it lives, it says a phone number. That's what a havdil, but tzitzis are for us. Reminds us who we are. We're b'nei Torah, we're avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we do, what our mission is to do mitzvahs, what our purpose is in the world. Beautiful words of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Meshech Chacham will just say it outside to conclude for the night. Here's a beautiful idea. He says that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. Right? That's ABCs. We start off with that. Hashem created the world. Bereishis bara Elokim. But we know that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he didn't go ahead and finish everything. He created a world for us to be in. He created everything we have in it. He created humans. He gave us a Torah. But it's upon us. It's on us now to go ahead and complete it. And he says that when you look at the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's very similar. You have the mitzvah of the beged. You have the article of clothing, which is a completed article of clothing. And on both sides, it goes ahead and has strings, though, that aren't weaved, that are just hanging. And that is supposed to teach us that we need to finish the task that we have in this world. Whatever our mission is as Jews, and each person has their own unique mission, but the goal of the tzitzis is to remind us that the fringes that are hanging at the end of the tzitzis is HaKadosh Baruch Hu started it for us. We have the beged. Bereishis bara Elokim, He gave us a world, and we have everything we need in the world for us to accomplish our tafkid. But He didn't do our tafkid for us. The fringes are there to remember the job isn't complete. There's still fringes. We need to complete the job. And that's what the Meshech Chachma says. V'hayin al hara shagam bepilos ha'adam yasev v'chirosa b'chayim v'tov l'alach b'darach ha'ashen gam b'zeh azar mimar intaseir. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us with that. And on that note, we should all now have a beautiful Shabbos upcoming and enjoy, if we're back in Minyan, listening to Kriyas HaTorah, Parsha Shlach. And I thank you all for joining tonight on Zoom, and look forward to seeing you all, Mirtz Hashem, next week.